We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Birchos HaShachar, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Mem Zayin. In the previous Shir, we spoke a lot about the menorah in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdosh. Now Rav Nosson Zal switching to the vision of the menorah that Zechariah HaNavi saw, which is the Haftorah that we read actually on Shabbos Chanukah. Paragraph Mem Zayin. V'ze b'chinas mare ha-menoira shel Zecharia, shemaftiren b'parshas b'haloischa u'b'shabbos Chanukah. That based on what we've been learning here now, we'll understand some new insights to the vision that Zechariah Novi had of a menorah, which is the Haftorah of Parshas b'haloischa, and also the Haftorah that we read on Shabbos Chanukah. Sheroes ha-menoira, he saw a vision of a menorah, Ushnaim zesim oleho, and two olive trees above it, echot miyamin ve'echot mismoil, one on the right, one on the left, vo'oimar, and Zechariah Hanovi says, I said to Hashem, mo eile adoini, what are these? Vayomer loy, and Hashem said to him, halo yodato mo eile, you know what these are, don't you? Vayomer lo yodati, Zechariah Hanovi said, I don't know. And again, this is unusual, extremely, extremely unusual to find this conversation in the Torah, in the written Torah. In the written Torah, every word is $1 billion. There's no this isn't a chat room, Lahavdil, where Hashem said, he said it. That's the way this seems to be. Hashem says, don't you know? No, I don't. You sure you don't know? No, I really don't know. What's going on? And this is very similar to what we described earlier, how Moshe Rabbeinu responded when Hashem tried teaching him the menorah, how to make the menorah. And he couldn't get it, the Midrash says. Hainu shegam Zechariah niskasha al esek tikun hamenoira ma'oid. Zechariah Novi also was struggling about the tikun of the menoira. Machmashero sheshnaim zesim oleho. Because of the fact that he saw these two olive trees over the menoira, Shehem Shnei Ilonois, the Pasuk says Zesim, but it's referring to two olive trees, Echot Miyamin, Vechot Mismoil, one on the right, one on the left, Shehem Bechinas Ilono de Chaya, Ve Ilono de Moisa. They obviously represented the two trees in Gan Eden, the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, and the other tree, which was actually a tree that brought death into the world, the Eitz Hadas, which is Ilono de Moisa. Shehem Bechina Sitra Dikdusha Vesitra Achra Shekanegda. They represent the side of holiness and the opposite side. Shemizgaber Bechol Pam Ra Lu'umas Toiv. Whereby there's always this conflict, there's this battle going on all the time, that there's good and then there's the Ra that's trying to counter it. Alkein Sho'al Mo'ele Shtei Pomim. And this is why Zechariah Novi asked twice, what is this? What is this all about? Because he couldn't figure out, he couldn't imagine, how does one conquer this mountain? Since we see that this Sitrachra keeps coming back again and again, fighting a Jew every step of the way. So how in the world does a person win this battle? V'heshiv loy hamalach, and the angel responded to him there, loy b'chayil v'loy b'choyach ki im beruchi omar Hashem tzvokos. It's not with physical strength or power that one wins this battle. It's only through the ruach of Hashem, the spirit of Hashem. What is the ruach of Hashem? B'chinas rotzoin. This means desire, willpower. Shenikra Ruach Hashem, which is also referred to as this heavenly spirit. Kamay Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Yechezkel HaNavi, chapter 20, Ho'oilo al Ruchachem, which goes upon your desire, your will. There the word Ruchachem is used specifically in place of Ritzoinchem. Hainu, meaning that the angel was telling Zechariah Novi, al yidei toikev horotzoin digdusha, hanimshach miruach Hashem, al yidei hatzadikei emes, it's through the holy desire and willpower, which comes from the Ruach Hashem via the true tzaddikim, Bechinas Moshe. They're the ones who really absorb it from Hashem, and they're the ones who are in a position to pass it along to each and every single year, to inject us with the rutzin, the willpower that we need, the determination that we need to persist and to overcome the Yetzahara. This is how each and every single Jew will be able to overcome the opposition, the opposing forces of the Yetzahara. This isn't a question of physical strength or who has more money. The most important thing that's needed here is desire, willpower, determination. And this is why the pasuk continues over there in Zechariah. Mi ato har godol lifnei Zerubbabel lemishur. Who are you, this great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you're going to be flattened. You're going to become like flatlands. Shafilu hohor hagodol. Even this great mountain that Zechariah Navi saw in that vision, shehu bechinas hasoinim v'hamoinim hagedolim, which represents all the enemies and obstacles, the great enemies and obstacles that are blocking a Jew from becoming close to Hashem, uke'en shepirish Rashi sham, as Rashi HaKadosh sort of explains there, lifnei Zerubbabel, before Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel represents the tzaddik over there, we'll see in a moment, lemishur, they'll all be flattened. Ki kulam yizbatlu lifnei hatzadik u'emes. Because all of these mountains, this whole obstacle course, will be eliminated by the tzaddik u'emes. Bechinas Zerubbabel, who is represented in the pasuk there by the name Zerubbabel, shehu bechinas Moshiach, which was another name for Moshiach, al yidei toikev horotzoin sheyoyer b'Yisrael. And again, how does the tzaddik give a person the ability to overcome the Yetzahara? The tzaddik is the one who infuses us with rotzoin, desire for Hashem, desire for the Torah, desire for personal success. He's the one who gives us the inspiration, the motivation, the stamina, the ability to persist. Kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yametz libecha v'kaveh el Hashem. We have so many psukim throughout the Torah that tell us that it isn't one punch. This is going to take persistence in order for a person to succeed, to be matzliach and avodas Hashem. V'zeh shekosav atmor zal b'sefer ho'alef beis, and this is why Rabbeinu Zal writes in the Sefer Aleph Beis, which is the Sefer Hamidois. That's another name for the Sefer Hamidos, which is one of the Sforim that we have from Rabbeinu Zal, Ois Ner Tomid, under the chapter that speaks about Ner Tomid. It's an alphabetic order there. So under Nun, the piece that speaks about Ner Tomid, Rabbeinu Zal says there, Shalidei Hadlokas Ner Tomid Mitzoylin Migzera Shmad, that by a Jew lighting a Ner Tomid, this saves the person from a decree of Shmad. What's the kesher? Ki ner tomid hu bechinas harotzin. Because as we explained in the past few shiurim, when we spoke about the menorah, a candle represents the neshama, ner lekim nishma sodom, and the neshama is all about rotzin. Neshama is called nefesh, which is another word for rotzin. So this ner represents rotzin. Rotzoin is the opposite of Shmad. Ki oilim mishmad l'rotzoin. Because as we explained based on chapter 215 in Likutei Moran, Shmad is the lowest, lowest level that a Jew could possibly hit, rock bottom, complete denial and lack of connection with Hashem. Rotzoin is the deepest possible connection that a person can make with Hashem. And we said that Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe is 345, Shmad 344, Ratzain 346. Moshe Rabbeinu is in between Shmad and Ratzain. He's the one who elevates a Jew from whatever yerida they're in to the highest aliyah possible. So this Ner Tomid, this candle that a person lights to have it burn constantly, This represents rotzoin. We said that that's that fire inside a person, the fire of desire. What desire for Hashem, desire for Kedusha. And this is why Rabbeinu Zal said lighting a ner tamid protects a person and saves a person from shmad. It's interesting that in Breslov there is a custom. One of the things that Rabbeinu Zal mentioned before he passed away was that he wanted to have a ner tamid by his kever, a ner tamid of shemen zayis. And this is known to be an item that's mentioned in Sifrei Kabbalah, that a ner tamid of shemen zayis is hamtokas hadinim, a person lighting that. And this was the custom for many years, although when communists took over and people couldn't go there, obviously that this wasn't continued. Interestingly, my rabbi, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Avrocha, was once in the United States on a mission to save Rabbi Nachman's kever when the Russians were building apartment buildings over there. And he visited one of the Breslovers in New York, and he comes into his house and he sees a ner tamid. He sees a ner tamid of Shemen Zayis. So he asks him, what is this? So the person said to him, being that I can't go to Uman, being that I can't be in Uman, I figured I'll bring Uman to me. In other words, I want to have a presence of Rabbi Nachman in my house. So I figured I'll light the ner tamid in my house. If I were there, I would do it over there, of course. But if I can't be there, this is the closest thing that I could do. Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha heard this, and it made sense to him. And when he returned to Eretz Yisrael, he started doing this in his own home. And he lit the ner tamid, and this is going back about 30 years ago. Over the past 30 years, this has caught on, and thousands of people in Breslov do this. They have a ner tamid in their house. In the shuls, they have it. In the Breslov shul, they had it, I think, even before that, that they light a ner tamid, and they have in mind when they're lighting it, I'm lighting it, le'iloi lichvoid nishmas Rabbi Nachman ben Feiga. And again, in the Sifrei Kabbalah, it's brought that lighting a ner tamid of Shemen Zayis is hamtoka sadinim. Rabbeinu Zal says in Sefer Amidos that it saves a person from shmat. It strengthens a person's rotzon for kiddusha. And the fact that, again, because we don't live in Ukraine, because we don't live in Uman, this is another way of maintaining a kesher with Rabbeinu Zal's kever, because this was one of the important things that Rabbeinu Zal wanted going on in his kever. This is one of the things that reminds us of that kesher. Even those people that go once a year, Rosh Hashanah, or a person who hasn't gone even, this is a way of having a connection. In Eretz Yisrael, olive oil is available, and people do it. And even in the United States, there are friends of mine that have it. They don't necessarily get Shemen Zayis from Eretz Yisrael. They have from Spain, other places, and people do this on a regular basis. Paragraph Memches, V'zeu b'chinas gedulas kedushas Chanukah. And this is also tied into the great holiness of the holiday of Chanukah. Shemamshichim oz kol echot ve'echot bebeisoi kedushas neiroi samenoira. On Chanukah, each and every single one of us brings into our own home the holiness of the menorah in the Beis Hamikdosh. Shaydeze machnien b'chol shono malchus harishoa. This is what enables us each and every single year during those 8 days to bring about the downfall of the evil kingdom, Sherotzu lahashkiach toirosoi, who wanted to try to get us to forget the Torah, v'gozru oz kama shmodois al Yisrael. And they issued many decrees of shmad against the Jewish people. That's what the Greeks were all about. They weren't looking necessarily to kill us physically. They wanted to wipe out Yiddishkeit, Shmad, Kamaisham Rabbi Senazal, as it says in the Medrash Rabba Vayikra, chapter 13. Ki kol ze mevatlin al yedei kedushas ner Chanukah. Because how do we counter that? How do we battle that? Through the holy candle of Chanukah, Shehu bechinas kedushas neroi samenoira, which represents the candles of the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan. Shehu bechinas heoras harotzim, which represent this light of desire, yearning for Hashem. The canal, as we discussed in the last few pages. V'zeh shemuva b'sifrei kodesh migoydel noirois kedushas Chanukah. And this is why we find in this holy Sfarim, where they describe the awesome holiness of Chanukah, shehu b'chinas hadlokas neiras hamenorah, that it's like we're lighting the menorah in the base of the Beis Hamikdash in our own homes. Ad shegam bimei Noach, and we find a reference to this, that during the time of Noach, Tekef Achar Hamabul, right after the flood, Noach sent out bird to check out the situation, to see if the waters had subsided, etc. So he sent out a dove at one point. First he sent out a raven, and then he sent out a dove, and the Torah says, Vehine ole zayis torof befiha. The dove came back with an olive branch in its mouth, Shemarameis al Shemen Hamanoira. And all the Sifrei Chassidus write that this was a remez to the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, Shehu Bechinas Chanukah, which represents the holiday of Chanukah, Shematzil Mishetef Mayim Rabim, which is what protects a Jew from the tsunami, from the mabul, from the flood. That's the terminology that's used throughout Tehillim and other Sforim. The Sitrachra attacking an individual Jew or the Jewish people is referred to as Shetef Mayim Rabim. These waters that are trying to flood us completely. And that's what the Mabul was. And again, the Tikkun for it is the Zayis, the olive, which represents the holiday of Chanukah and the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. That's what protects us Mibechinas Meimei Hamabul, from the flood waters, Hamizgabrim Bechol Dor, Bechol Pam, which rise up in each and every single generation, every time, Lehachrev Es Olam Chas V'Shalom, to destroy the world of Judaism, to destroy Yiddishkeit. Ach Iker HaTikun, and what's the main solution for it? Al Yidei Alei Zayis, it's the olive branch. Bechinas Shemen Ner Chanukah, which represents the oil of the Chanukah candles, Bechinas Shemen Hamanoira, Shehu Bechinas He'oras HaRotzoin. This is that desire, that deep fiery desire, Shemeir Bechol Minei Choshech, which shines a light throughout all kinds of darkness that we're put through. Afilu Becheshkas Mei Hamabul Chas V'Shalom, even during the darkness of the flood, because everything, all forces of the Sitrachra can be eliminated through this light of Rotzain, Shemarumas Ba'alei Zayis, which is represented by the olive branch, Shehevio Hayoina Le'es Erev, which the Torah says that the dove came back to the ark when? Towards evening, Le'es Erev. Why does it have to say that? Why is that mentioned in the Torah? Shemarameis al ikvas Mashicha. That's a remez to when things are going to be turning dark as we get closer to the Mashiach, where we're told, Vanoichi hastir astir esponai bayamahu. Hashem is going to dim the lights and dim the lights more and more. It's going to get darker and darker. That's when the Yoina arrive with the Zayas to tell us that even when it's getting dark, darker, darkest, there is this light of Rotzlin, this He'oras HaRotzlin. A Jew has a neshama, a nefesh, which is a nuclear generator of Rotzlin Diktusha, of desire, which can beam a light through every type of darkness. It can help the person move forward despite whatever darkness is being presented to them. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Zechariah chapter 14, V'hoyo le'eis erev, Yihye Oyer, that towards evening, towards when it gets dark, there's going to be a light. That's this light of the menorah, Chanukah, the neshama. V'alkein be'emes mevoyer b'medrash hanelam, and this is why it's brought in the Zohar Kodesh, in the section Medrash Hanelam, in the Zohar Chodesh, Parshas Noach, al posuk v'hinei alei zayis hanal, related to that posuk in Parshas Noach. Shelule Neirois HaMenorah, were it not for the candles of the menorah, Bechinas Ner Chanukah, which represent the holiday of Chanukah, Kvar Ovda Pleitas Yehuda Menoholam, the Jewish people would be lost. There would be no hope for us. Ki Iker Kiyumeinu Ato Hualidei He'oras HaRotzein Hanal, because our whole existence now in Golus, when we're being battered and battered and we're away from home for such a long time, we're out of Eretz Yisrael, or we're out of the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael for so many years. What's keeping us going? The answer is this willpower, this desire, this Ratzon de Kiddusha. Shehu Bechinas Neiros HaMenorah, which is symbolized by the Neiros HaMenorah. This is Chanukah, paragraph Memches is Chanukah. And now paragraph Memtes, Rav Nosson Zal is going to jump to Pesach. What happened to Purim? The answer is he has many discussions about Purim, as we've seen and as we're going to see. Purim is also a similar concept. Just to include it a little bit, we speak about the darkness. Purim arrived after 70 years of exile. The Golus Bavel, Hashem had promised, was going to be 70 years. And Haman and Achashverosh saw that the Jews, nothing was happening. So they figured Hashem must be asleep, you know. And you know, he forgot about the Jews, Chas v'Shalom, forgotten people. And the Jewish people themselves, they saw that the Jews were assimilating, many of them, to the extent that when Achashverosh made a social event, Jews showed up to Achashverosh's parting. And the Gemara mentions the different things with women, noshim, nochriyos, all different kinds of things, which made it seem as if it was all over, that there was no hope for the Jewish people being able to be saved. And that's when Achashverosh and Haman combined together to use their power, their money, everything, to put Haman up as an idol. Everybody, v'chol avdei hamelech asher b'shar ha'koyrim, everybody has to bow to Haman. What is that? That's gzeiros shmad. That's what it is. That's shmad. This is who you bow to. This is the G-O-D. This is the new G-O-D. But the Torah says, O Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh, that the tzaddik, Mordechai, who represented Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the Moshe Rabbeinu of his generation, he wouldn't bow. And instead, he persisted. We see that his rutzlein, his determination, even though he saw all of this going on around him, he saw the assimilation, he saw all the problems, it didn't mean that he didn't give up. He didn't give up on Hashem. He didn't give up on Klal Yisrael. He persisted in teaching children, as the Gemara says. And sure enough, and Esther Amalka, when he saw her taken into Achashverosh's palace, also, it seemed as if that was a major yirida, a nefila, where his co-partner, his co-pilot, is suddenly taken out, period, captured in Achashverosh. But he had total faith in Hashem and in the tzaddik, in Esther. He knew her holiness and purity, and he knew that even in Achashverosh's palace, they ain't going to win. She ain't going to go down. If anybody's going to go down, it's Achashverosh who's going to go down. And sure enough, the Gemara says she retained her purity, and with their determination, without giving up, Vayizak Zooka Gedoyel Umoro, we see Mordechai at Tzadik davening, and then Leich Kenoises Kol Yehudim, she tells him, go gather all the Jews. Again, she knew the secret, that it's not just a matter of Tzadikim, let's get a minion of Tzadikim and we'll do it. She understood that when there's such an attack, when the forces of Amalek are so powerful, it's not going to be enough to have a minion of Tzadikim. You got to gather everybody, like the Ketores. You need the 10 spices, the 10 sweet-smelling spices, and the Chelbana also, even the Rishon, bring them in also. Everybody get together and plead to Hashem. And sure enough, we see how it was turned around completely. The decree is Lahashmid. Lahashmid means to physically annihilate, and Lahashmid means also to wipe out the religion. Shmad, Gzeira Shmad. We see what happened was the exact opposite. That number one, all the wealth and power of Haman was given over to Mordechai at Tzadik, and things turned around to such a level where it says, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, that there was a new Kabbalah Satoira. Just like at Har Sinai, the Jews said, Nase v'nishma, they showed such desire for Hashem that we're in. Even before we read the fine print, Nas v'nishma, we're committed. That shows a tremendous show of desire. We want to be with Hashem. That was super rotzim. Here again, but there was kofalem hargegigas. There were certain elements of fear involved. They heard the thunder and the lightning and everything. Here the Gemara says that on Purim time, it was tshuva me'ava. That without Hashem imposing any fear upon them, in a sense, you know, with any mountains over them, they accepted the Torah anew. Klal Yisrael made a whole new kesher with Hashem, and not only that, but v'rabim me'ame ha'oretz misyadim, that thousands of the goyim converted. Not only did the Jews not go to Shmad, but the Goyim became Yidden. We see the power of the Tzaddik, what Mordechai at Tzaddik and Esther Amalka were able to do to bring about such a reversal, to take things from Shmad to Rotzlaim, to the point where this day is established in Klal Yisrael as the ultimate day of Rotzlaim. We learned before that an example of Rotzlaim is Tztaka. Charity is called Kol Nediv Lev. Charity is Nediv a slave. It's goodwill. Somebody comes to the door. I don't know. It's not a. And I look. He's Jewish. I want to help. I want to give. That concept of. So he said, Tztaka is Rotzlaim. The ultimate day of Tztaka of the year is Purim, where the Gemara and the Halacha make such an incredible statement. That throughout the rest of the year, there's discretion in who to give and what to give. On Purim, close your eyes. Boom. Whoever puts out his hand, we give. Why? Because there is such a hisgalus of Rotzayim. We know the Gemara says Hashem observes the Torah. Hashem davens, Hashem studies Torah, Hashem puts on tefillin. The Gemara says in Brochas, Minayin shakodesh baruch hu meiniach tefillin. And the Gemara asks, what's written? Hashem is mevaker cholim. He went to visit Avram Avinu. So this law of kol ha-poishet yad, whoever puts out his hand, you have to give him, applies to Hashem also. And this is why this is considered one of the ultimate days of Rotzayin of the whole year, for a Jew to really make sure to take out time to be mispalel. When the doors of heaven are wide, wide open, there's this tremendous hisgal. And again, that we said before, the mishloach monos, matonos levyoinim, what is that all about? This Rotzayin, showing that every Jew's Rotzayin is at a peak. I want to give, I want. We're giving and we're taking, we're giving. And usually it's either one. They are the givers and the takers. On Purim, it's such a high that we're giving and taking. We're giving shalom. Person gets shalom on us, he plays hot potato. He gives it right away to the next guy. It's such an incredible expression of goodwill, Rotzayin Toiv. Because we said that there are people who would rather give $1,000 than get five. If somebody wanted to give him $5,000, he wouldn't accept it. No, how? He doesn't. What do you mean? I don't want your model. I want. Soine matonis yichia. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says a Jew is supposed to avoid gifts in most cases. But on Purim, that's the one day a year that avoid nothing. I'm willing to receive and I'm willing to give. Everything goes. It's an incredible hisgalus harotzim. In Breslov in Israel, and I think even outside of Israel, the youth, especially the Bochrim and the young men, organize buses to go to the Kol Hamakomos HaKdoshim for Chatzos, midnight on Purim, not to miss out on this incredible opportunity, that this is a day when Hashem's checkbook is out and he's got his pen in his hand. And he's saying, whoever asks, receives, to make sure to take advantage of that. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Roshei Prokim Lehilchos Pesach, Mechuber Lehilchos Birchas HaShachar, Al Piatoira Shem Moshe Oimei Ben Shmad LeRotzlaim. That this next piece has some short discussions related to Pesach, which are related to what we've learned till now in Hilchos Birchas HaShachar Halacha Hei, which is based on chapter 215 in Likud Imran, which speaks about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu stands between Shmad and Rotzlaim. Paragraph Memtes, V'zeh b'chinas Pesach u'Shvuas. Everything we've been learning till now is related to the holidays of Pesach and Shvuas. Ki b'Pesach hascholas hiskarvus Yisroel avim shvashamayim. The holiday of Pesach represents the beginning of the Jewish people coming close to Hashem as a nation. We left, that's the first time that we became an official nation, leaving Mitzrayim and making a new hiskarvus to Hashem. She'oz yotzu mitumas oivdei kechovim, oivdei avodah zarah. That's when we left the impurity of the idol worship and idol worshippers in Egypt. She'hein b'chinas shmad, which is referred to as shmad, lehiskarev elov yisporach, in order to come close to Hashem, which means lichloil barotzayin ho'elyon, to become part of the ultimate rotzayin, Hashem, who is referred to as Rotzayin Ho'elyon. Sheze bechinas pidyon ha'elyon ha'koilel hanal. This is also tied into that ultimate pidyon that Rabbeinu Zal mentions in that chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 215, where he says that there are 24 courts in heaven, and those are the courts that issue decrees against an individual person or a community or against Klal Yisrael. And there are tzaddikim that know how to counter the judgment in each one of these courts. Some tzaddikim know one court, some of them know more than one court. But Rabbeinu Zal says there that there is a pidyon hakoilel. There is an incredible, incredible power of holiness that has the ability to negate the judgment in all 24 courts, to wipe out any judgments in all 24 courts. That's called pidyon ho'elyon hakoilel. And now Rabbeinu Zal explains, ki geulas Mitzrayim bechinas pidyon. Because the fact that the Jewish people were redeemed, were taken out of Egypt, that itself is an example of a pidyon, of a judgment, a decree. The decree was that the Jews would have to go into exile. The decree was nullified totally when we came out of Egypt. As the Pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim, chapter 13, v'hapoidcho mi beis avodim. The Hashem who redeemed us, the word pidyon is used, who redeemed us from slavery. However, this pidyon comes from the highest level of rotzon, rotzon sheberetzonos, which in Aramaic is raivad arayvin. Shehu bechinas shloish osar tikunei dikna, which is tied into the 13 tikunim of the beard, which corresponds to the 13 attributes of kindness of Hashem. Shezeh zoichin rak b'shvuas, which we know that Klal Yisrael only connects to that on the holiday of Shavuos, not on Pesach. Shehu kabolas haTorah. Shavuos is when we receive the Torah. Sheoz nizgairin Yisrael. That's when the Jewish people really made the transition from Shmad to Ratzon, when we converted. K'may Shapirosh Rashi, as Rashi HaKodesh points out, shenichnesu, that we entered into the covenant with the Torah, bahazo'o utvila, by being sprinkled and dipping in the mikveh, keger, like a convert. V'alkein oz b'shvuois be'emes niglo kezokin mole rachmim. And this is why the Gemara tells us that on Shavuos, Hashem revealed himself to Klal Yisrael in the form of an old man, a zokein mole rachmim, full of kindness. If you remember, we spoke a few pages ago, based on Torah Dalet in the second half of the Likutei Moran, about the two categories of Zkenim. There were the holy Zkenim, who add das and holiness and kindness in every new day that they live. They mellow, like an older person. As you get older, you become more mellow, softer, gentle, the nice, gentle old man or old lady, the grandmother, grandma, grandpa. Or lahavdil, you have the zakenim of the sitrachra, those people who become old and don't realize that they're supposed to continue adding das and kedusha and significance to their lives, so they just go into park, they retire, no work, no the. What do? Nothing. They're playing cards, doing total nonsense, waiting to die. And those people usually are full of negativity, grumpy, angry, nothing is good, always complaining, this was no good, that's no good, chasham, that's the zakenim of the sitrach. And we said that the zakenim of kedusha represent rotzon, they represent ahava, love, chesed, kindness. All of those terms go together. Ahava, rotzon, chesed are one family. So this is why he's telling us that on Shavuos, Hashem appeared to Klal Yisrael as a zokein mole rachmim, the old man in the white beard. And kaviyochel, that's one of the reasons why we eat dairy on Shavuos specifically. The cholov, the macholi cholov, represent this rachmonis, that the red has turned into white. Redness, which represents midas hadin, judgment, has been whitened completely. Shehu bechinas tikune dikno shehimshich Moshe oz. This is the concept of the 13 attributes of kindness of Hashem, which are referred to as the tikune dikno, which Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in drawing upon Klal Yisrael. Shehu bechinas pidyon anal. That's similar to the pidyon hakoyla that we spoke about, but that's really on Shavuos. Avol b'shas yitzias Mitzrayim hoya koshe lahamshich bechinas pidyon hoelyon azeh. However, at the time the Jews were leaving Egypt, which was not Matan Torah, we had not gone through the 49 purifying days of the Omer yet, and therefore it was very difficult to draw that Pidyon Ho'elion, to make that Pidyon Elion happen. Alkein hoyo koshe mo'oid yitzias Mitzrayim. And this is why the Torah uses the terminology that to take the Jews out of Egypt was difficult. What kind of difficult? How could something be difficult for Hashem? So Hashem was weak? The answer is no. There wasn't the right energy needed to activate this Pidyon HaKoylel. And this is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu kept refusing the job offer. Hashem kept insisting, go, go, take him out. Moshe Rabbeinu kept saying, no, 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 no thanks. No, somebody, yeah, all kinds, trying to get out of it every which way. He said, send the one who you're going to send. Send somebody else. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew that it wasn't yet the time that he would be able to draw that Pidyon HaKoylel in its full power. And therefore, if he doesn't bring a cannon, if he brings a pea shooter or a pistol, and he takes the Yidden out with that, he knows it's not going to last. The Yidden are going to mess up again and again. And all kinds of terrible things are going to happen. Whereas the real permanent final geula is only going to be through Moshiach. Shehu Moshe bi'atzmoy, who is actually Moshe Rabbeinu himself. We know that the pasuk says in Kehelet, Ma shehoyo hu sheyeh. The one who was is the one who will be. And it's brought that the first letters of Ma Shehoyo Hu is Moshe. That's one of the psukim. There are many psukim that are marames that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the original Goyel, he's going to be the future Goyel also. Shedaika achar histalkusoi nistalik l'sham. However, it's only after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away that he went up to that place, to that address called Pidyon HaKoylel, Raiva de Raivin, Tikune Dikno, Umispashet Bechol Doer Vodoer Bechol Hatzadiki Emes. And Moshe Rabbeinu, after he passed away, comes down to this world and spreads himself out in each and every generation, in all of the true tzaddikim of the generation. Each one of the true tzaddikim of the generation has inside of him a part of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shehem bechinas Moshiach. These leading tzaddikim of each and every generation are an aspect of Moshiach. Ad sheyikmoir hageula al yidei bechinas pidyon helyon anal. Until this process will be completed, will be finalized, through the Pidyon Ho'elyon, which will result in the final Gula, which we're waiting for. Ach Hashem Yizbora. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a good excuse why he kept trying to turn it off. Because he said, so what, I'll put a Band-Aid on, I'm not going to solve the problem. Even if I take them out now, there's going to be tzoras tzruras, there's going to be major problems. Ach Hashem Yizbora, hichrichoi leilech legolam. However, Hashem insisted, Hashem forced Moshe Rabbeinu to go and redeem the Jews, take us out of Egypt. Ve'hivtichoy, and Hashem promised him, sheyihye imoy, that Hashem will be with him, sheyuchal gam ato lahamshich he'oro v'hamtoka anal, that Moshe Rabbeinu will be able, even now, even before Shavuos, even before Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu will be able to draw some light from that Pidyon HaKoylel, from that incredible high level of Rotzlin. However, the real blast of that light was only on Shavuos at Matan Torah. Aval ato b'shas yitzias Mitzrayim, whereas now, when it's the time for the Jews to leave Egypt, shehu koydem matan Torah, which is before the Torah is being given, hoya koshe ma'oid lahamshich pidyon hanal. Therefore, it was very difficult to be able to draw on that pidyon ha'elyon, because everything has its requirements, everything has its time. Ach Hashem yisborach chomel aleinu. However, Hashem took pity on us, v'heir aleinu he'oro lemala mehamadrega, and Hashem shined down upon us a light that was really above what we deserved at that time, above what we could normally handle at that time, shaloike seder, going against the rules, breaking all the normal rules. The normal rules are, you shuvu elai v'shulichem, you take a step towards Hashem, Hashem takes a step towards you. You take a bigger step towards Hashem, Hashem will take a bigger step towards you. But here Hashem didn't wait for us, and he took a giant, giant step towards us with that incredible bright light that he shined down upon us on the night of Pesach. Shehu b'chinas Pesach. This is what the holiday of Pesach is about. She posach al seder hamadregois. The word Pesach means to pass over, to skip over. Hashem skipped over all the requirements, all the normal requirements and prerequisites. In order to receive this unit of 12 billion watts of light, you have to do A, B, C, D. Hashem just ran right over A, B, C, D and went right to Q. He went straight to bring us this incredible bright light that he shined down upon us, as is brought in the writings of the Arizal and in many places in Likut Yom HaLikut HaLochas. Hainu, meaning, She'af al pi shelo yizochu adayin al yedei isarusa de lesato lebechinas pidyon hanal, meaning, even though we were not yet able to connect with that pidyon ho'elyoin, which requires isarusa de lesato, which requires some initiative on our part, we have to make some preparation for it. We have to do certain things. So even though we couldn't yet tap into that pidyon ha'elyon, which requires isarusa lesata, afal pikein heir aleihem milemalo he'oro niflo, despite that, Hashem shot, he beamed down upon us a very bright light, a very high level of light, coming from way above, shayideze nigalu, which resulted in our being taken out of Egypt. And therefore, it's for this reason that on Pesach, we are limited. We can only eat matzah. Shehu bechinas mon. Matzah is compared to mon. Bechinas lechem min hashamayim. Heavenly food. Belishum asiyah v'tirdo klal, which comes without any activity on our part. Chametz requires much more human intervention. Matzah happens by itself, like in a sense. Bechinas, as the pasuk says there, v'gam tzeda lo yasu lahem. They did not pray. The Jews did not pair any lunch boxes, any food to take with them when they went into the desert. Shenemar b'pasuk, that's written, that statement is written in the same pasuk, v'yoyfu es habotzeik ugois matzois. They baked matzois, not chametz, because they were in a rush, they didn't have time, and they also didn't pack lunch boxes, implying again that we didn't have the time and opportunity to do everything we normally would do. Therefore, Hashem did it. Hashem went and beamed down upon us this mon, which the matzah represents. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain a little bit more what matzah is all about. Paragraph Nun. Ki chometz zebechinas uvdois v'tirchois shemiyagin atzmon lahamshich haparnoso. Chometz represents all the struggles and efforts that people do in order to try to earn a livelihood. Ki ilu yesh eze derech hateva, as if the parnosa comes based on natural means. The Gemara says that a person who works on Erev Shabbos has what to eat on Shabbos. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, chometz represents all the different versions of effort time and struggle that people put into parnasa as ke'ilu, and again, the struggle, the major struggle and effort is obvious that they're putting into trying to do things, physical things, gashmius things to make it happen, is as if they think that parnasa comes based on derech hateva. That if I don't make the phone call, I'm not going to get it. If I don't go pick up my check, I'm not going to, if I don't do, it ain't going to happen. I'm not going to have parnasa. Asher be'emes hu sheker v'chozov. Whereas in reality, this is totally false. Ki ein shum teva klal. There is no such thing as teva. There is no such thing as nature. And ki afilu mish. Watch how he's going to show this. Ki afilu misha misyageya b'masu umatin. Because there are people who work very hard in business. They spend hours on the phone researching and phone call and struggling and running and jumping and going, oy malacha, or people who work very hard to develop a product, not just playing financial nonsense, you know, all that stuff. People actually working to develop a product, and they get scientists and architects and all kinds of people to develop something. Laharviach parnosa, in order to earn money, to make money. Ein haparnoso al pi hateva klal. With all the effort that they put in, the end result, the money, the parnosa, is not based on teva. It's not based on scientific or natural facts. Kemoshekosuv, as the pasuk says clearly in Chumash Dvorim, chapter 8, that you're going to be wealthy, you're going to succeed, you're going to have money. Varam levavecho, you're going to become arrogant. And you're going to forget how the money really came to you. V'shochachto es Hashem Elokecha. You're going to forget Hashem. So the Torah warns, don't be stupid, don't be silly. V'zocharto es Hashem Elokecha. Remember your Hashem. Ki hu hanoisin lecho koyach. Because he's the one who gave you the ability. And the Targum says, Are yohiv loch eitzo lemikni nichsen. Hashem is the one who gave you the advice, who gave you the idea, who gave you the knowledge, who gave you the direction to take in order to acquire possessions, to acquire wealth. Ki loy mi moitza umimarav, because the pasuk says it don't come from west or south. It's not by traveling here and traveling there and going here and going there. And as the Gemara says, ki ein anius min ha'umnus. Poverty does not come from work, and wealth doesn't come from work. And as we see in real life, we see there are people who work very hard and don't bring home the beef. And we see that there are people who, just by a flit of what seems to be a flit of luck, the person inherits, or the person this, or the person happens to be in the right time, they give him the job and he has it. Ach ikar tirchas haparnoso nimshach michet odom rishon. The main struggle for parnoso comes from the sin of odom rishon. She'oz nigzar, that's when Hashem decreed bezeyas apecho toicha lechem, that your livelihood, your bread, your parnoso will come through struggle. Shemishom nimshach halametes malochus. That's what introduced the 39 kinds of work into the world. When Hashem issued 39 curses at the time, 10 curses to Adam, 10 to Chava, 10 to the snake, and 9 to the earth, that manifested, one of the manifestations of that was in the whole work issue. The fact that people have to work and struggle to provide parnasa. V'hatikun, and the solution, what's the solution to all of this? What's the tikun for those 39 curses and all of that suffering? Alidei Shabbos. The tikun is Shabbos. Komei Shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Shemos, chapter 35, Sheishes yomim teosem alocha, 6 days work will take place, uvayoyim hashvi, but on the 7th day, Shabbos, rest. The Shabbos, hu bechinas bitul. Shabbos is the concept of bitul, negating ourselves, shutting down, shutting down the whole materialistic world, taking the money out of our pockets, closing all our businesses. That's bitul, which is bechinas pidyon, which is the concept of this pidyon, which we said is also a bitul to Hashem. Al yidei bechinas eis rotzoin hameir b'shabbos. And again, what allows us to do this on Shabbos? What makes it possible that a Jew doesn't go to work on Shabbos and they don't make phone calls and they're eating better and they're dressing better? They're having a much better time than during the 6 days of the week. The fact that the eis rotzoin, the fact that Shabbos is a time when that rotzoin is flowing, that goodwill flowing from Hashem, and our rotzoin to connect with Hashem. A Jew during the 6 days of the week has a nefesh, one nefesh, which means one unit of rotzoin. On Shabbos, they give him a nefesh yesera, a neshama yesera, which means they double the rotzoin. They double the rotzoin. Nefesh is rotzoin. So he has double the rotzoin, and it's ace rotzoin. And it's Shabbos that shines its light into the 6 days of the week. So that even for those people who are going to go to work during the 6 days of the week, it won't be the opposite of Shabbos, but I'm drawing some of Shabbos, I'm retaining that light. I'm remembering the good taste of Shabbos. And when I get up in the morning on Sunday, I say, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. That it's not that one day a week Hashem is giving Parnassah, and the other 6 days I'll take over. I understand, Hashem, you're capable of providing for Shabbos. That's why I don't go to work on Shabbos. But I know that you're not capable of providing 6 days a week, so I guess I'll have to do it myself, right? Wrong. When we say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, we're saying that the same Hashem who took care of me yesterday, he's the same Hashem who's taking care of me today, on Sunday, and tomorrow. Why am I going to work? To fulfill a certain curse. There was a curse, B'Zezbecha, to make a tikkun for the Pigam of Adam Rishon. But I know very well that it's very possible that I'll go to work and get nothing, get zero paycheck. I won't get a paycheck. And Hashem will send me money through some other way. And even the paycheck that I do get from work, the only reason I'm getting it is because Hashem said so. Because I put in my 40 hours, all of this, and suddenly, chas v'shalom, a tornado hits, the business closes down, the guy goes bankrupt, this, and I did everything I was supposed to do, and I got nothing, chas v'shalom. Or I got a minus sometimes. You get the guy who goes up to work, goes out to work, and putting it is 8 hours, 9 hours, sitting at the screen and moving monies and doing everything. And then at the end of the day, he's minus. He says, I would have been so much better off staying in bed. What I need this for? This morning, 9 o'clock, when I started, I had 300,000 in my account. Now I'm down to 250. That's work? That's earning a living? That's called earning a living? So the concept of Shabbos, the kesher between Shabbos and the weekdays is shafilu kishoisin masumat malacha. That even when a Jew is going to be working, he's going to be conducting business and working, yihu kedoshim bekedusha Shabbos. I'm going to be doing it with retaining a flavor of Shabbos. What does that mean? Levilti lihiyos torud bohem. I'm not going to allow that tirdov parnosa to take over. I'm not going to allow the job to swallow me up. I'm not going to forget where the money's coming, who the money's coming from, who I have to convince, who I have to play up to, I have to play up to Hashem. My most important client is Hashem. My boss is Hashem. It's all Hashem. Again, I'm going through certain steps. I'm making believe like I'm going to work like everybody else. But my work is totally different. And again, I can prove it. Let my boss say, you know what? Today you're not going to daven mincha. Or today you're going to eat with me. I'll tell him how far to jump. I'll tell him how far to go. He thinks he's my boy. He thinks that I'm giving him a certain level of respect because I know my life depends on him. But I know much better. My life depends only on Hashem. The fact that I'm going to work again, I'm going through certain motions, I'm putting in a certain effort, but I haven't forgotten Shabbos. I haven't forgotten that I'm a witness. I saw clearly that without any work, without any boss or anything, I had a great time. I had food and I had sleep. I had a bed to sleep. I had everything. So the same Hashem who took care of me for Shabbos, I'm dragging him with me to work every day. I'm not letting him go. I'm not going away from him. I'm not saying, have a nice day. I'll see you next Shabbos, Hashem. I'm keeping the same Hashem with me during the 6 days of the week, keeping that kesher, because all of my life and my livelihood comes only from him.